Right now, though, as I promised, we're joined by a former NFLer. He spent 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is co-host of Home and Home. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Good friend of the program. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, what's going on?
Jim, I'm fantastic, man. How about yourself?
So good, Russ. Great to visit with you. Thanks for making time. A lot to cover, so let me just jump right into it. A lot to cover, and we could talk about the CBA, and it's not the most exciting topic in the world, but, Ross, what was your reaction when you heard the notion that they were looking to expand the playoffs? Is more better in this case?
Well, so from a player's perspective, I absolutely love it because you're only asking four teams to play one more game. So 12.5% of the teams play one more game, and that gives us two standalone games wild card weekend, which, as you know, that is a ton of money being injected into the system, into the cap for all players. So from a player's perspective, love it. As a broadcaster, I mean, I'm going to watch the heck out of those games. I love it, adding two more games. I do think that there are some fair concerns to be had. I know there are people that are concerned about watering down the playoffs. That's not really my deal, Jim. I'm okay with that. I mean, when they first went to 12 playoff teams in 1990, there were 28 teams in the NFL. This is before Jacksonville and Carolina. So 42.9% of the teams made the playoffs. Now it'll be 14 out of 32. That's 43.8%. So it's not even a full percent more. So those aren't the things that bother me. If I had a concern, is that we are totally diminishing the value of the number two seed. I mean, what's cool now, right, is that you really want to be the number one seed for home field advantage and the bye. But then you really want to be the number two seed, like the Chiefs were after Fitzmagic beat the Patriots, so that you get a bye. Now it'll be number one seed or bust. Some people say they like that. I just think if you have a year like this year where the Ravens were clearly going to be the number one seed, there's not that much of a difference between 2, 3, and 4, which would mean there's not much of a difference between being the 13-3 Packers or the 9-7 Eagles that barely get in.
Well said. Ross Tucker, my guest. You're right. It devalues the 2 seed, but man, it's got to make that 7 seed feel pretty damn good. Ross Tucker joining us. All right, Ross, let me ask you about the CBA. Now, J.J. Watt immediately came out yesterday and tweeted that he was, quote, a hard no on the collective bargaining agreement. He did so before leaders from the NFLPA even got on the phone today to talk about that. What was your reaction when you saw that from him?
Extremely disappointed in him. I would tell him that to his face. I would love to talk with him about it in any sort of public forum. I mean, you're talking about a guy, Jim, first of all, he was teammates with Eric Winston, who's the president of the NFLPA. And JJ, he's a tremendous player. I know everybody loves him, and he's great on social media and Saturday Night Live, but he's not a player rep. He's not on the executive committee. He hasn't put in over 300 hours over the last 10 months like these players have. So to just say it's a hard no without even, like, calling Eric Winston and talking to him about it, I just can't believe that he would do that in a public forum like that. And then, by the way, have no reasoning as to why he's a hard no. I would love to know why he's a hard no on a CBA, Jim, that is better on every single line item across the term sheet that JJ just played 9 years on. And maybe even more to the point, that guy's made over $85 million. He is one of 5 or 10 guys in the whole NFL, 15 maybe, that have done that. This CBA is for 2,000 men who are doing whatever they can to try to get a great head start financially for their families and some financial security, getting the league minimum for 3 years before they blow out their knee or 5 years before they lose their job to a guy that's younger. This is really, really serious. And the NFLPA represents those 2,000 guys. So for a guy that's made over $85 million, and by the way, he deserves a voice, and he has absolutely a right to voice his opinion. But for a guy that's not in the negotiations at all, to not even say what he doesn't like about it, and not understand that he is not even really representative of the group we're talking about here, it's extremely disappointing. I've spoken with a number of players and former players this morning that are irate with him right now.
Ross Tucker is my guest. Ross, if you had to guess, what do you think it is that he does not like about that agreement?
A couple things. Number one, he probably doesn't like the 17th game. I think most guys are just generally opposed to the 17th game, which is a shame, Jim, because I think they probably don't understand the economics of it. Like, I'd love to sit down with them. You know, everybody's like, oh, the owners are going to get what they want. Jim, you know this. The 17th game is primarily about TV revenue. The players get 55% of the TV revenue. The players benefit more from the 17th game than the owners do. It's so frustrating how many poorly informed people, including some players, speak out on social media about this stuff. Like, if you went on Christmas Day and said to the guys in the locker room, all right, dudes, just heard from the owner. We can play one more game, and you all get 150 grand. Because, by the way, that's at least what the 17th game is per player being injected into the salary cap. Every single guy, Jim, would say, heck yeah, I'm in. I mean, maybe one or two super-duper rich guys like Richard Sherman or J.J. Watt would say no, but almost unilaterally, those guys would say, you know what, we already did training camp, we already did the whole season, 150 grand for one more game at this point? Heck yeah, we'll do it. And that's what I think is a real shame, is people don't understand that. And I see all this stuff, Jim, about players are they need to sit out. You're not going to sit out. No guy is going to sit out. That's the whole point. They don't really have leverage. Maybe J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman would sit out. None of the other guys are going to. Their wife is going to say to them, you're getting $72,000 a week, and you're going to sit here? You have to absolutely go out there, and you need to do whatever it takes to play. Guys are not going to sit out, so they don't really have leverage.
Hey, Ross, this point about the 17th game, and you're talking about if you went to every guy and said, we'll give you 150 grand, do you want to play? And they'd say yes. The guys that are saying no are pushing back on that $250,000 cap, right? And the ones who are doing that, of course, are the ones who make enough money that if you were to prorate that, they would make more than 250 grand for that game. How many guys are actually in that position, and do you even care? I mean, do you understand why they would feel that way, or should they do what's better for the sport and say yes to that?
So, as usual, Jim, you're on top of it. I didn't get there yet, but that is exactly right. If I had to guess, J.J. Watt doesn't like the idea of the 17th game and really doesn't like that he won't make his same rate. And I get that. I think that's the worst term in the whole term sheet. That makes no sense to me why that would be capped. It absolutely should be the situation where they get what they've gotten the whole year. I don't know why it's capped. I'd be frustrated too. But the reality is, they're not going to go to 17 games until 2021 at the earliest, maybe later than that. And it only affects the guys that are currently under contract through 2021, 2022, 2023 that make more than 250 grand. I'd love for somebody to go through, because it's really not that many guys. It's really not that many guys that feel that way or that would be affected by it.
Ross Tucker, my guest. All right, Ross, one quick thought, and I do appreciate your thoughts on that. Normally I would say CBA is not something people want to hear about, but I'm so glad you and I had that conversation. If you were Joe Burrow, would you be trying to use whatever leverage you have to try to avoid the Bengals?
It's a great question. I know what I wouldn't be doing. I wouldn't be doing what he's doing right now. He's kind of beating around the bush, Jim. You know, he's kind of trying to have it both ways. If he really doesn't want to play for the Bengals, then I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a player. Now, I wouldn't love it, but as a former player, I'm okay with guys doing whatever they think is best for their career. And if he really doesn't want to be a Bengal because he doesn't like the ownership or the franchise, I'm okay with that. I just wish he would say it. You know, he's being asked if it's a long process. They got their process. I've got mine. And maybe you could argue, Jim, that he doesn't know yet. Maybe he wants to sit down and talk to them and find out whether or not he's comfortable being a Bengal. And if that's the case, that's fair. Personally, I love the city of Cincinnati. And, you know, I see where Carson Palmer says they're not committed to winning a Super Bowl or whatever. I mean, in the last 8 years, they had a period where they went to the playoffs five straight years with Andy Dalton, who's perennially average, as their quarterback. Five straight years. That's hard to do. So if I'm Joe Burrow, I'd like to think that I'm confident enough in my abilities to think if they were able to put a team around Andy Dalton that could go to the playoffs five straight years, why can't I get them to championship games, Super Bowls, and be the hero around here?
He played 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is the co-host of Home and Home. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Hey, Ross, my man, I appreciate it so much. You had another long week. You could have already gone to the weekend. You're still doing work. I respect it. I appreciate it. And that's a great job by you, as always, Ross. Thanks so much.
Anytime, you know that, man. I'm actually in the car with my family on the way to the ski trip. But when Jim Rome calls, I answer.
My man. Hey, fam, what's up? You guys have a great weekend. You should be proud of the old man. He's killing it. Good job, Ross. Thanks so much. I appreciate you. I mean that sincerely. Ross Tucker is doing so well and creating so much quality content. You can agree with what he said or disagree with what he said, but this is somebody who's going at it the right way every single day and creating really good content. I'm proud of you, Ross. Great job.